This is an AI-generated summary of Hansard, Thursday, 9th May, 1901. The House of Representatives. The House of Representatives convened on May 9, 1901, at the Exhibition Building in Melbourne. The clerk read the proclamation summoning Parliament and announced the receipt of election writs for 75 members, including Frederick William Bamford for Herbert, Queensland, Edmund Barton of the Protectionist Party for Hunter, New South Wales, Egerton Lee Batchelor for South Australia, Thomas Brown for Canobolas, New South Wales, and Donald Norman Cameron for Tasmania. Proclamations confirming the elections of members from Tasmania, New South Wales, Queensland, and Western Australia were also read. The Usher of the Black Rod delivered a message from the Duke of Cornwall and York, authorised by King Edward VII, calling on members to assemble promptly for a commission reading. The Duke then delivered a message on behalf of His Majesty, which recognised Queen Victoria's initial desire to open Parliament and conveyed King Edward VII's respect for this wish, despite the recent loss of his mother. The King expressed gratitude for the colonies, support in the South African War and in China, and his satisfaction with the political union of Australia. With confidence in the Commonwealth's wisdom and patriotism, he declared Parliament open. Next, the Governor-General announced that, as instructed by His Majesty's High Commissioner, he would later declare the reasons for summoning Parliament after the members had been sworn in and had elected their Speaker. Oaths of allegiance were then taken by the members, including Prime Minister Edmund Barton of the Protectionist Party for Hunter, New South Wales, Attorney General Alfred Deakin for Ballarat, Victoria, and Minister for Trade and Customs Charles Cameron Kingston for South Australia. Following the swearing-in, the Governor-General requested the House proceed to elect their Speaker. Thomas MacDonald Paterson for Brisbane, Queensland, moved for the election of Frederick Holder as Speaker, praising his judgment and experience. Sir Edward Braddon from Tasmania seconded the motion, amid concerns voiced by Arthur Bruce Smith representing Parkes, New South Wales, as a free trader about the circulation of letters soliciting support for Speaker candidates, and interjections by Austin Chapman and Donald Norman Cameron regarding the situation, Frederick Holder submitted himself to the will of the House. Prime Minister Edmund Barton expressed pleasure at the prospect of Holder as Speaker, while Sir William Macmillan representing Wentworth and John Christian Watson representing Bland on behalf of the Labour Party also congratulated him. Mr. Speaker then addressed the House as the elected Speaker, thanking members for their congratulations and pledging to rise to the occasion. After briefly adjourning the House, the Speaker reconvened to announce congratulations from Western Australia. The House then proceeded to the Executive Council Chamber, where Mr. Speaker was presented to the Governor-General, who expressed his confidence in him. Mr. Speaker proceeded to read a cablegram from the Secretary of State for the Colonies, which welcomed the new Parliament, along with a telegram from the moderator of the Presbyterian Assembly. Prime Minister Edmund Barton stated that the telegram from the Secretary of State for the Colonies would receive a proper response, and moved for a special adjournment until 10 minutes before 11 o'clock the following day, at which time the Governor-General would deliver the reasons for summoning Parliament. During the session, Joseph Cook, representing Parramatta, New South Wales, as a free trader, inquired about the distribution of the new standing orders. Henry Higgins for Northern Melbourne, Victoria, sought clarification regarding members' privileges, especially concerning library access. Prime Minister Edmund Barton explained that the House desired an adjournment until May 21st and that the standing orders would be distributed for review before that date, while inviting confidence in the interim standing orders until the Standing Orders Committee rendered their decision. Charles MacDonald for Kennedy, Queensland, objected to the lack of debate regarding these issues. Mr. Speaker ruled that the Prime Minister had already addressed the matter, disallowing further debate, which led Charles MacDonald to threaten to challenge the ruling. Mr. Speaker indicated that he would ask the Prime Minister to protect the chair if further challenges were made, and recommended that Charles McDonald present his concerns during the motion to adjourn. Despite protests and concerns over the absence of established rules for debate, Mr. Speaker maintained that no further discussion on the standing orders could be permitted at that time. The motion for special adjournment was approved, and Prime Minister Edmund Barton moved that the House now adjourn. Charles McDonald reiterated his desire to explain his objections regarding the standing orders, and although Prime Minister Edmund Barton clarified that the Constitution dictated the quorum, and that the proposed standing orders would soon be laid on the table for members to review, Charles McDonald remained concerned about objectionable features in the standing orders. Prime Minister Edmund Barton refuted any conservative labels and confirmed that members would have ample opportunity to review the standing orders before their temporary adoption. With these proceedings, the new Parliament marked its inauguration with significant attention to both ceremonial duties and procedural matters, setting the stage for future parliamentary work. The Senate. The Senate convened in Melbourne, with the Clerk of the Parliaments reading the proclamation. His Royal Highness the Duke of Cornwall and York, representing the King, addressed both houses and conveyed the King's message. The King expressed his gratitude for the colony's support in the South African War and in China, acknowledged the social and material progress of Australia, and hoped that the Union would further promote the welfare of his subjects and strengthen the empire. Following the King's message, the Governor-General announced that members would be sworn in and that a President of the Senate and a Speaker of the House of Representatives would be chosen. Senators then took the oath or affirmation of allegiance, and the Governor-General instructed them to elect a president. The Senate adjourned for lunch until 2:30 p.m. On resumption, Senator Richard O'Connor from New South Wales, a protectionist and vice president of the Executive Council, moved a motion to establish a procedure for electing the president. He suggested an exhaustive ballot if more than two candidates were nominated, and that only moving and seconding speeches be made. Senator Josiah Simon from South Australia sought clarification, while Senator Edward Millen from New South Wales interjected. Senator Sir John Downer from South Australia proposed omitting the first part of the motion to ensure a uniform ballot procedure. Senator William Higgs from Queensland voiced concerns about the lack of information on the candidates and opposed limiting discussion. He then proposed an amendment to ensure that the election be conducted by ordinary ballot, regardless of the number of candidates, an amendment seconded by Senator Norman Ewing from Western Australia. After further interjections, including from Senator Anderson Dawson of the Labour Party and Senator John Neild, Senator O'Connor withdrew his initial motion and introduced a revised one incorporating an exhaustive ballot. Senator Dawson from Queensland argued against the amended motion, advocating for open voting and opposing secret ballots. He claimed that the government had predetermined the motion. After several interjections, Senator Dawson moved an amendment for open voting, which was seconded by Senator James Stewart from Queensland. Debate continued with contributions from Senator Albert Gould from New South Wales, Senator Alexander Matheson from Western Australia, and Senator Simon, who argued that secret ballots led to a double voting system. A division was called, and the vote to omit the words of the original motion failed 23-13. Senator O'Connor then announced the election process. Blank papers were distributed for senators to write the name of their preferred candidate, with a proposer and seconder required for each candidate. After proposals from Senator Fraser from Victoria, Senator Robert Best from Victoria, Senator Josiah Simon, Senator Miles Smith from Western Australia, and Senator James Walker from New South Wales, seconded by Senator Sir John Downer, the clerk announced that Senator Sir Richard Baker from South Australia had been elected president. Senator Baker expressed his thanks and acknowledged the responsibilities of the position as Senators Walker and Best conducted him to the chair. Senator Gould congratulated the newly elected president, while Senator Gregor McGregor offered congratulations on behalf of his party. Senator Simon also congratulated the president and offered his support. The president thanked the senators and asked for their assistance in maintaining order. Following his presentation to the Governor General, the president read the reply on behalf of the Governor General, who expressed pleasure at the selection and confidence in the president's ability. The president then shared a cable message from the Secretary of State for the Colonies, welcoming the new parliament and expressing confidence in its role in promoting happiness and unity. When Senator Thomas Glasse suggested that the Senate instruct the president to respond to the message, the president noted that it was addressed to the Governor General and that a reply would likely follow from that office. The Senate then passed a motion to adjourn until 11 a.m. the following day. This has been a LaunchLab production. LaunchLab.com.au